Where we're heading today is part of our collection of talks, Center of All Things. Welcome to Center of All Things Global Edition. Okay, so we're just carrying on with Center of All Things. We're just rolling. And the reason for it is this, that where we are in the story, the narrative of God, we're at a place where it makes sense to include it inside of Global Month. Because what happens in the part of the story we are is the gospel is going outward. Churches are being established now in different places. And we're looking at some of those writings. So if you were here last week, you know, we talked about the Apostle Paul, right? And the Apostle Paul was with the church at Ephesus, and he was giving his farewell to that church. And so he had the elders, and he told them very specific things. Well, then Paul leaves there. He goes to Jerusalem and then ends up in Rome. When he gets to Rome, he ends up in prison. And part of being jailed, part of being held by the Romans, is he starts to write letters. And some of those letters are to churches to encourage them, and some of them are to individuals. Now, here's what's beautiful. The individual we're going to talk about today that Paul writes a personal letter to is a guy named Timothy, right? So Paul leaves Ephesus. Timothy is sent to Ephesus. And Timothy, it's believed that the letter we're going to read, that Timothy is in Ephesus and he is shepherding that church along with the elders. And so what's amazing about this part of the story is they believe the church in Ephesus, because of the growth of the church, was probably a mega church. And you had this young individual, Timothy, who's been sent there. And so what Paul does is he goes, hey, I'm going to write you a letter and I'm going to encourage you. And so in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, this is some of the encouragement he gives Timothy. You then, my son, so you then, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in who? Christ Jesus. Okay, remember, center of all things is that we center our lives where? On the person of? Good job. You're in church. The right answer is always Jesus. Just going to give you an easy win. No matter how new you are, how old you are, just say Jesus. You'll be in the ballpark, right? But the reality is that what he's saying is, hey, Timothy, as you step in and as you begin to give away, as you begin to lead, center your life on the person of Jesus. And then he says, out of that, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. He starts out with, hey, the things that you've heard me say, right? Where? In the community. In a gathering of people. Maybe just one of the things to grab and hold on to is what he's encouraging Timothy is, Timothy, this is about communal learning when it comes to Jesus. Can I give you a caution? That if you think you hold up with the Bible and you're going to understand everything and know everything and be the guru and you're going to have everything, you are seriously lacking when it comes to growing in your faith. Why? Because God put us in family. Family is community, and in community is where we're supposed to learn. And so he's encouraging Timothy, hey, remember those things. Remember the things that you received in community, you heard me say? It's also believed that there was multiple others that had poured into Timothy in a communal setting. He says, here's what you're going to do. What you've been given, entrust, give away to reliable people. So entrust, that word entrust has to do with you have something so special to you. You have something so important, something that is to be taken care of, to be protected. And it reminds me of my daughter, Farrah. She's 10 years old. She is as cute as can be, right? Like, I love that girl so much. She is my free will kid. Here's a definition of her, right? We drive to school in the morning. The first thing she does, window down, takes my phone, puts her music on as she sits there with her Vans and her little high leg socks, you know, the whole deal with her black sweatshirt that has Star Wars on it. And she's leaning out the window, singing at the top of her lungs, whatever song she's chosen to put on. Hair blowing in the wind, and she's on the way to school. That's who she is. But here's the thing. For me to entrust her to your care means that I have to see in you the ability to be trustworthy. What that word is capturing is for me to hand her off to you. It says, entrust, give away to reliable people. You know what reliable people are? People that are faithful. People that have proven themselves to be trustworthy. You see, here's the thing. If I don't know you, I'm not giving my daughter, stewardship of my daughter to you. Not even for 10 minutes. If I don't know you, I don't trust you. And what this is saying is you have such a precious gift you've been given. Who are you giving it to? Be wise in who you're giving it to. Be wise in who you're pouring your life out for. Be wise that what you're building into is you are building into people who what? They have proven themselves to be trustworthy. They've proven themselves that, hey, what you've entrusted to me, you entrusted your daughter to me for a minute to watch. Now I'll entrust you with 10. Now I'll entrust you. Why? Because you've stewarded well what's been given. And that's what he's saying to Timothy. Timothy, the gift you've been given of the gospel. You realize the gift you have of Jesus? Right? You realize that what you've been given in the person of Jesus is the greatest thing on the planet. There is no greater good news than the person of Jesus. There is nothing else that can transform the human soul outside of the person of Jesus. And you've been given that. And it says now entrust it to someone else. Why? That they would carry it. And the last part of that verse says that they would be qualified to teach. They would give it away. You realize that what we're a part of, the mission of this whole thing, is make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So here's the thing. If you've met Jesus, right? And you are following Jesus, what are you supposed to do? Make someone else, right? Which you can't make anybody do anything, but what you can do is go, hey, let me introduce you to Jesus and walk alongside them as they grow. You're supposed to give it away. And so this thing's supposed to multiply, right? You just keep giving it away, giving it away, giving it away, giving it away. That's how this works. So a little challenge, little toe step for you, if you like. I'm going to step on your toes for a second. If you've met Jesus, who are you giving it away to? Because that's a call on your life. If you've met Jesus, who are you giving it away to? Because that's a call that God has put on you. He's entrusted you with the greatest gift on planet Earth. And what he's asking you to do is, would you give it away to someone else? So who are those people? This morning, I'm excited because a conversation we're going to have, a conversation with a couple of gentlemen that God is doing amazing things through in the Dominican Republic. They've been partners with Heights. Nelson in particular has been a partner for 16 years, which I had brown hair when I met Nelson. And now I'm gray. So there you go. But here's what's beautiful. You get to hear people and hear today from people in a different cultural country context that are living out what we just talked about. So would you do me a favor? Would you welcome Pastor Alessandro and Nelson Paulino? You guys don't normally stop. You stopped. What's going on? There we go. There we go. Well done. Well done. Good to see you. Well, welcome. Good morning still. We're still in the morning, so good morning.
Buenos días a todos, mis amigos. ¿Hablan español aquí?
Okay. Español. Buenos días, bendiciones.
Good morning. God bless you.
So let's do this. Let's start with a little bit about both of your stories, who you are, family, and kick us off in that direction.
Quiero, aquí está la persona más importante en mi vida, mi esposa, Lisetti Cartagena.
Here is the lady, the person who is the most important in my life, my wife, Lisetti.
Madre de tres niños preciosos.
Mother of three precious children.
Hoy está ministrando mi hija en la otra iglesia.
My daughter Elizabeth is at Prescott Valley.
Grace también, que es danzarina.
Grace, who's a part of the dance team.
Y David, que toca batería en la iglesia,
and
de
David,
10 años.
Who's a drummer at church.
Nuestra vida es una vida dedicada al Señor desde muy temprano.
Our life has been dedicated to the Lord since very early years.
Comencé a predicar a los 16 años.
I began to preach when I was 16 years old.
Y hasta hoy no me he parado.
And I have not stopped until now.
Mi esposa y yo. El noviazgo de mi esposa y yo fue predicando a Cristo.
My wife and I, when we were still dating, we spent our dating time preaching the gospel.
Y desde entonces no nos hemos detenido. Somos pastores de Ministerio de Restauración, Unción y Poder en República Dominicana.
Today we are the pastors of a ministry called Restoration and Power in the Dominican Republic.
Trabajando con todo tipo de personas, no importa.
And we work with all kinds of people, doesn't matter.
Gente con hambre, con necesidad de Dios.
People who are hunger for Christ.
It's beautiful. And Nelson, what about you?
Well, following the steps of the pastor, I have to say that my wife is the most important person in my life, too.
Well done. Well done.
My wife and my son were actually part of the worship team, Oscar and my wife, Leonor. We have two other children who are in the Dominican Republic, Hector and Sonali. And I'm blessed that I was born in a Christian family. For my whole life, all my friends and mentors have been Christians. And when I was 11 years old, in a Christian meeting in a family, somebody who's sharing the gospel presented the opportunity to receive Jesus. I was 11 years old, and I said, I want Jesus in my heart. And a couple of months later, I got baptized, and that was the beginning of my serving life in the kingdom of God.
Amen. It's beautiful. So maybe walk us through, because you both have different contexts that you're doing ministry in. What does ministry look like for you in your specific context?
Nuestro ministerio comenzó en una aula de un colegio.
Our ministry in the church begins in the classroom of a school.
Por ende teníamos muchos jóvenes, más de 400 jóvenes en el colegio.
And that school had about 400 young people who were students there.
Y comenzamos a buscar ideas cómo ganar a esos jóvenes.
So we began to search for some ideas on how to win them for the Lord.
Muchos de ellos son de lo que tenemos hoy son jóvenes que vinieron a través del colegio.
A lot of the people that we have in church today, they came through the church, took that through that school setting.
Actualmente hemos trabajado esta semana, dos semanas atrás, con más de 500 jóvenes en las escuelas.
We are working now, even up to last week, we have about 500 young people that we are ministering to in the public school system in the Dominican Republic.
El Ministerio Juvenil de la Iglesia se traslada a las escuelas.
The ministry of the youth ministry actually go out into the public schools and preach the gospel to the teenagers.
Y de lo que han aprendido nosotros lo exponen en la escuela.
And they do what they've been learning from us since the beginning. They go and preach the gospel.
Cuando esos jóvenes vienen con muchas necesidades,
when those new believers come to our church of a lot of needs,
lo pasamos a un proceso de discipulado.
And they enter what we will call a discipleship process.
Le enseñamos para que vean lo que hacemos.
We teach them so they can see what is that we do.
Lo afirmamos en la palabra.
We affirm them in the word of God.
Y luego le enseñamos que tiene que multiplicarse en otros.
And then we teach them that they need to multiply themselves in others.
Convirtiéndose en líderes.
So they become leaders.
Y luego son los predicadores,
they
y los
become the preachers,
pastores,
future pastors,
evangelistas,
evangelists,
que van por muchos lugares del país,
and they go through different parts of the country,
y levantamos iglesias donde ellos van y ministran,
and we also plant new churches in places where they go and preach the gospel.
Y eso pasa con los niños, con los jóvenes y con los adultos.
That happens with the children, with the teenagers, and also with the adults.
El proceso para formarlos se lleva un año y dos meses.
The time frame between the new believers to the time that they actually are sent out is about a year and 2 months.
Tanto asistiendo a las clases de preparación de discipulado.
Attending to a special discipleship classes.
Como enseñándole a servir a otros.
And we also do practice and service others.
Y a ganarse la familia, los hermanos.
And to share their testimony with their own family and brothers and sisters.
Y eso ha hecho que nosotros podamos crecer en el Señor.
And that has allowed us to grow in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
It's beautiful. Nelson, what about you? What ministry specifically does God have you in at the moment?
Amen. Well, my ministry is continues in the steps of pastors like Pastor Alessandro. I've been serving in missions since I was 20 years old, 1996. I know I look 25, but I'm 48. And so after serving in about 23 years in different ministry opportunities around the country, the Lord put in my heart to find the next one. Who is the next 18, 19, 20 years old, young man or woman who the Lord has already planted a desire to serve him in the mission field? So I ask pastors like Alessandro and other pastors in my country a simple question. I go and say, so who in your church is going to be you in the next 10 years? Who's going to take the baton from your hand to be the next pastor, the next evangelist, the next missionary? If it's a young person between 18, 19 years old, I want to know who that person is. And of course, they usually have one or two who are ready to learn about what it means to be a Christian leader for tomorrow. So we begin a process of training that future leader in a combination of four, we call it four dynamics. Sometimes I like to call it like a kitchen, like a cooking pot where we put four ingredients in it to make sure that Christian person who is young grows to a Christ to be a healthy leader tomorrow. One of the elements of the cooking is instructions. Now, they are young, so that we all need to learn a lot. So we make sure that they go to conferences, training, they read books, they learn a lot of topics in life, leadership, also psychology, finances, different topics. This takes 4 years of reading and learning and going to all kinds of teaching classes. And then we combine that with a dynamic that we call relational dynamic, which means now we're going to grow a community around you so you are not a lonely leader later down the road. That community is made up by your pastor, but also people who are praying for you, intercessors, people who love you, people who are your mentors. So when you are already in the mission field in 5, 10, 15 years, you are not headless leader. You are a family of people. People are who are around you and they love you and pray for you. Then we also do what we call an spiritual dynamic. Because they are Christians, they've been recommended by the local pastors, but they are still young. So some of the regular, we call it Christian habits, we want them to develop. So their prayer life, reading the Bible, meditating in the Lord, going to church, making sure that they're actually grounded in the Word of God and they have a very close relationship with Jesus Christ. We encourage that all the time. That's our spiritual dynamic. And the last thing that we do in the cooking process of this rice and beans that we call Christian leaders tomorrow is the experiential dynamic. So we send them out. We allow them to test and taste different ministry opportunities with children, with adults, sports, medicine, every possible area that we could present it to them so they can begin to understand and be clear about what their calling is. This takes 4 years, and as they're going through college, completing their college education, and also completing our training program, now they can begin to match their career with that calling that the Lord has put in their heart. So we are sending out very competent and very deep Christian leaders for tomorrow.
It's beautiful. Just to connect some dots along the way here, what you're hearing and hopefully what's connecting is what we talked about in 2 Timothy of that process that Paul is encouraging Timothy to do. What you're getting to see here is that process being lived out. So the role the church is playing and then the role that Nelson and his team are playing in how do you continue to develop people? But what I want you to also catch is it's not about training pastors. The goal isn't that everybody becomes pastors and nobody steps into the workspace outside of the church. The goal is that people who are stepping into careers. I met a young lady last night that's going to med school and wants to be a doctor and is 2 years into med school and also going through the training program. The goal is that they are equipped to live the gospel out in the context of their job. They're equipped to do what we're talking, what Paul's being encouraged to do, essentially in a formal role in a church. What you're seeing lived out and what's happening in the Dominican is that it's being carried forward into the workspaces. And it's beautiful. So maybe just as you've got to interact with different people and you're raising people up, maybe just some stories that would help encourage and kind of celebrate.
Amen. Well, one of my we have 21 students who are graduating from our program this December. So I think that deserves a praise to the Lord.
That's great.
One of them is today actually running the light system here at the church today, which is thank you for the opportunity for him to have that great experience.
He's doing great, right? He's doing great. The lights are on. Let's go.
His name is Isaac, and him and his twin brother came to be recommended by the local pastor, Pastor Alessandro, to be part of our program. Well, Isaac is going to be a civil engineer. He's going to college for that. And his twin brother is going to be an architect. So they came to be part of our program basically because Abel was the first to recommend it, has a very clear pastoral calling. So we want to make sure that he come. Isaac kind of joined us in the process because he was coming to all of our meetings anyways and eating all of our pizzas. And we're like, okay, you can stay around. That's not a problem. But then both of them, 3 years ago, had this wonderful opportunity. We had a ministry partner in Houston who sends playgrounds to the Dominican Republic and around the world. And they gave us 3 playgrounds 3 years ago to install in places where children have never seen one. Well, I don't know how to install a playground. They sent a team, small team of 3 or 4 of them, to train us how to do it. To my surprise, when Abel and Isaac look at the blueprints of the playground and they were looking at all these dimensions and angles and how to do it right, all the distances, I look at those papers, I'm like, I don't know what that means. But for them, it was life. They could see it. They were like, wow, we're going to school to learn how to apply this dimensions and these things into something that will actually be used. And so they helped a lot in the installation of 3 massive playgrounds, and they enjoyed it so much that they're like, we want to do this forever. Well, the day that the kids came to celebrate the opening of the playgrounds, can you imagine a place where kids have never seen it? Hundreds of kids in line jumping in those ropes and doing all the things. Abel and Isaac were like crying and celebrating so much that they can actually be part of something that is going to be a magnet to bring children, their mothers, and their parents around the church. And now they want to do it for the rest of their life. And it's amazing to see that great opportunity.
That's amazing. And church, you've had a taste of that. That those of you that were along for the ride when we were talking about Prescott Valley and plans for a playground, and you're like, what is this about? And then to see the community and just the gift, it's not lost on me to hear the story of Isaac and what's going on there. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful to see. Pastor Alessandro, maybe either a story to encourage or just a challenge for the church, an encouragement to the church.
Algo lo que quiero decirle a la iglesia.
What I want to say to the church.
A veces pensamos que no podemos o no tenemos que hacer para que otro sea feliz.
Sometimes we don't find ourselves able or capable of doing something so they can reach their joy.
Cuando nos reunimos en este lugar.
When we're here together in this beautiful place.
Y escuchamos una palabra como la que el pastor está tratando.
And we hear the word that our pastor is dealing today.
Yo observo que Pablo dice a mi hijo Timoteo.
I can see that Paul is talking to Timoteo as a son.
Le da una introducción como alguien que reconoce como que salió de él.
He can introduce him as somebody that he knows came out of him, like he's his spiritual son.
Y segundo le dice, busca hombres idóneos.
And then he said, go and find the reliable man.
Que puedan cargar con seguir enseñando la palabra.
Who can continue this teaching of the word.
Que aprendan y lo hagan como lo han visto.
That they can learn from you as you have seen it too.
Como tú lo viste de mí, enséñale a que yo lo haga.
As you have seen it from me, teach them to do it as you do it too.
Uno de los retos más grandes que tenemos nosotros.
One of the greatest challenges that we have.
Es que hay un mundo que se está perdiendo allá afuera.
Is that there's a war out there who's loose.
Quizás estamos contentos aquí adentro.
We might be very happy inside the church.
Pero cuántas familias están llorando porque sus Sus hijos están perdiendo.
But how many families are crying because their children are getting lost today?
Lo que tú has aprendido acá,
what you have learned here,
hazlo con otro allá.
Do it with somebody else out there.
Sal de este lugar convencido.
Get out of this place convinced.
Quizás la vida no es fácil.
Obviously life is not easy.
Quizás tu problema es grande.
Probably you have a big challenge.
Pero cuando aprende a darle a otro lo que tú recibes,
but when you learn to give others what you have already received,
Dios atiende tu necesidad.
God takes care of your needs.
De la única forma que podemos ser bendecidos,
the one way that we can be blessed,
es cuando bendecimos a otro,
is when we are a blessing to others,
y damos lo que queremos para nosotros,
and we give them what we want for us,
para que otros lo reciban,
so that others can receive it too.
En el nombre de Jesús te bendigo.
In the name of Jesus, I bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. I mentioned up top that it was 16 years ago. There was a couple of us from Heights. Colby was one, myself, and we got to go on a trip. And what we were sent on was, we know God's calling Heights to something else when it comes to the global expression of partnering with the gospel. And so we went to the Dominican Republic, got to meet Nelson. He drove us around all over and just kind of showed us what the needs were, which were many, but also showed us a vision for one of the things that God had put on our hearts is that we wanted to partner with people that they were doing the work of the ministry. And in doing the work of the ministry, their goal was to see it transferred and continue on through the Dominican people to the Dominican people. And that was really, really important for us. And it's a beautiful partnership that I've got to watch Nelson do that in different roles and different ways. But the mission has always been the same, that the gospel would go forward through a vision of reaching people where they're at and helping them step up and then take it out. And so just want to say thank you for the partnerships we've got with you guys. And would you give them a huge hand? Church, I hope you're blessed. And what I mean by that is this, that I hope you don't miss the goodness of God and what Jesus is building on our planet. I mean, think about it for a second. While we're doing this in little old Prescott, how many places are, one, celebrating who Jesus is and putting him center today around our planet? And we get to join with that. And this morning, it's partnerships in the gospel, right? But it could be easy to walk away and celebrate that and miss you. And I don't want to miss you this morning, because you're not here by chance. You didn't just stumble in this morning and something was missed on you. I believe that God has given you a calling. That's not unique to anyone on the stage. Sometimes we think that the person with the mic, it's their job. But the way the gospel was designed to go from here, the way the gospel that was designed to move, is through people. And you are those people. And so the call on your life is, what is God calling you towards? Who is he calling you towards? Who is he asking you to take what you've been given? And you may go, I'm in the front end of all that. I just met him. Awesome. Then give away what you have. But if you've been entrusted and you've been given much, then there's a call on you to entrust and give that away. And that's not unique to age. That's not unique to stage of life. That is just, if you are breathing and you are a follower of Jesus, who is God calling you towards today? What is he calling you towards? And are you going to have the courage to step in and follow him? And so I would love to pray, because we sang some words that I believe in the name of Jesus, that I believe in the resurrection. If you believe those things are true, then you've got to also go, then I believe that God has a purpose and a call on me. And so I want to pray for you before we sing those words again, that you would hear from the Holy Spirit and you would be faithful to get up and take whatever steps you need to take to step in today. And that may look very different for everyone, but the Holy Spirit will guide. So let me pray. God, we come before you this morning. Thank you for being our creator. Thank you for being our maker. Thank you for being the one who does not change. Thank you for being the author of the story. Thank you that you are writing each chapter and page of that narrative through your people. God, we humbly sit and say thank you for going to a cross, for taking on our shame and our punishment and our guilt, and for the grace and mercy and restoration and rescue that we receive. Thank you for saving us. Jesus, we long to put you at the center. As we put you at the center, it means that you call us outward to others. And so, Holy Spirit, would you speak to your people? Would you nudge them? Would you move in their soul? Would they be convinced that you are leading them to step out? And would you give them the courage to follow? We thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you for grace and mercy. We are grateful people. And everybody said, amen.